dive deep into the realm of large language models, prompt engineering, and best practices. With over 25 years of combined AI and product engineering experience, here are your hosts, Bradley Arsenault and Justin Makarin.
Hello, Brad.
Hey, Justin.
Brad, over the last little while now, over the last few months, there's been a lot of talk about agents. Agents that can generate source code, agents that can pulse the internet, agents that can do this, agents that can do that. And I think that there's a lot of confusion in this space because I don't really have, or at least I'm a little confused because I don't really have a good definition for what an agent is. Have you noticed confusion in this agent space?
Yeah, there's a lot. It's a very ambiguous concept, and I feel like there's a lot of overlapping Venn diagrams of these different concepts, and they're giving them the same word. They're all saying the word agent, or a custom GPT or a bot is another word, and they're really kind of distinctive concepts, or at least I think of them as distinct, but there's a lot of confusion. You know, this is not clearly defined.
So I guess before, we started this podcast, what we both did is we sat down to kind of get a good definition of what an agent is, and maybe not even a definition, but six minimum criteria or six minimum requirements that an agent must have for at least me and you to call it an agent. And I think it would be interesting to go through those.
Yeah, let's dive into that.
All right, well, the first one is one that you put down. And I'd love to learn more about, that reaction to stimuli or reaction to input. Why is that an important element to an agent?
So as we were kind of trying to refine the concept of an agent, we looked at it needs to take commands from a user. That's obvious, right? And you got to be able to say something or talk to it. Somehow it's got to be taking orders from humans. It just doesn't feel agent-like if we're not bossing it around in some way. But there's other types of stimulus too. And I think that when I'm thinking about an agent, I'm not just thinking about some ChatGPT where I type in a message and I get a response. It's also responding to other stimuli. It might be looking at the messages that are coming in on my behalf and reading them and being like, yo, Brad, this is an important one. You should look at this right now. It's reacting to other inputs besides just my commands. Even certain times of the day, it might be like, oh, it's 9 a.m. on Thursday. I better follow up on Brad's behalf on that important deal. I kind of think that it one foundational part. What do you think? It has to respond to stuff. Is that not a foundational concept?
It absolutely is. And I like that. So basically that first component is the reaction to stimuli, whether that's a user provided input or whether that's a cron job or whether it's an event that basically triggers it to act on something. So it must be triggered somehow, either manually or automatically to act. So that's our first minimum requirement, must react to stimuli and input.
Yeah.
The second one is it must be able to generate responses. So it needs to generate text. It may generate images. It may generate videos. But at a certain point, it must generate something for that end user. And normally the end user will read text, will look at images, and will watch videos. Are there any other criterias over here in terms of the responses that it produces?
Yeah, well, I guess, so I'm thinking about the agent. We said that it's got inputs that it's taking, it's reacting to stimuli. And now we're talking that it's kind of got some outputs. It's speaking back to its human. It's responding with images. It's responding with video. But I think it also might have other external effects. you could kind of maybe categorize some API calls under this, like, hey, maybe it's making an API call out to your calendaring system. Like it's impacting stuff. It's doing stuff and modifying the world or responding to its user. It got an input, it's got an output. That's sort of how I'm thinking about it. What do you think?
I like it. So basically, the React to stimuli is the input and the produces responses is the output. And I think that's a really, really interesting way of putting it. And I guess through that process of getting an input, doing a bunch of stuff, and finally generating an output, it requires memory. And I'm curious to learn your take on that. What does memory look like in an agent versus maybe a RAG-based system? How do those two things differ? Or maybe are they the same?
I kind of think they're the same. Like an agent's got to remember stuff. Like at the very least, the most recent message that you sent to it, and so that it can interpret your next message, but like perhaps more complex stuff. And I think how that's done, it could just be like the chat history is just maintained, or maybe it's a complex RAG application where it's storing chunks of text, or go way back to like deep learning of like 4 years ago, it would, you had these like attention networks and it would just store a vector, like an arbitrary vector would get stored in the network, and it was not interpretable, but it somehow caused the network to remember stuff. Like the specific implementation I'm not set on, but I do feel a memory is somehow important to this concept of an agent, you know?
So I like it. So basically, we have input, we have output, we have memory to make everything work. And to make this, yep, this agent kind of understand where it's going. That the next point over here is a little bit more abstract, or I think a little bit more complex, and that's to do with loops and recursion. On my end, the way I see this is I see an, yep, agent needing to have the ability to call itself or to interact with itself in a way. And the way I think about that is, can it possibly write prompts for itself? Can it take action and write prompts, comprehend the prompt that it wrote, and possibly do some sort of other action based off of that? Do you see the same thing, or do you think we should expand on that?
Let's dive in. Why is it the case that a system that would only have one prompt, or like just like one input, one output, and that strict structure would just not be enough for an agent, you know? And I think like there's a lot of just complex tasks that could not be framed in a single one shot, one input, one output. It's just not possible. So somehow the system has to be able to take multiple steps, or to plan its own steps, or to recurse and rewrite, you know, tail recursion. It outputs, yeah, an output and then writes its own next prompt. And then that also outputs its own next prompt as a tail recursive way. Who knows? You could do all sorts of designs. But what do you think? Like, is it, why is it not possible to do everything all in one prompt?
Well, I think like you mentioned, right, agents can become very complex. And I think that when we're dealing with complexity, I think it's important to break tasks down. And by breaking those tasks down, I think that it's important to possibly provide these computer systems, like large language models, the ability to generate the things that it needs to generate to execute. And I know that it kind of sounds philosophical, and I'm not, you know.
It mirrors the way that humans work, right? Like, we plan ahead. Like, we think about, we write an outline before we write an essay. So chain of thought prompting is another example of this. So I think it makes a lot of sense.
And I guess for our audience, I just want to point out that these concepts, I think, are minimum requirements, and they're still very much in their infancy. Nothing over here has been, you know, solidified or really set in stone by any kind of practitioner in this industry. This is still very, very, very new. And I think that over time, we're going to understand what best practices look like in each one of these categories. But today, I don't think that we have a strong understanding of that.
Yeah, it's a concept that's being developed, right?
Yeah.
We're seeing venture capitalists being like, "Oh, I'm putting $10 million on like 10 agent startups, $1 million each." So it's just like, what is an agent startup? What's your criteria? Do you have a good definition or
So once again, we talk about the input, which is the stimuli and those inputs. We talk about the output, which is producing responses. We talk about memory. We talk about loops and recursion.
Yep.
The next point over here is, I think, one of my favorite ones, and that is the ability to execute third-party actions. And that is an umbrella term that we're using over here to, one, generate source code, two, possibly call, libraries within source code, three, make API calls. All these things that require a computer system to interact with another computer system or with a third party system. Is there anything else here under the third party actions component that maybe we should touch on?
I guess so. Like, to summarize the third-party actions, for it to really be an agent, it's not just interacting with its owner or its like boss or whatever. That's also a nebulous concept. Maybe that should be a requirement. It needs a boss or an owner. But like, I guess what we're saying here is that there's a whole world of conventional computer systems that this new high-tech AI system needs to interact with in some way. And if it's not able to interact with anything except its owner, is it an agent? I'm not so sure. Maybe it is, but...
Well, I think it's basically one of these regular large language models, right? If I have a back and forth dialogue with a large language model right now, is it an agent? I don't think so. It still remains a large language model. I think that a key feature over here that an agent has is the ability to interact and affect third party computer systems, call them, react to them, whatever. So that's definitely a minimum requirement.
It's acting basically to be an agent is like, it should be able to do a lot of what a human can do, at least a human sitting in front of a laptop. That's like what we're trying to emulate here is person on laptop.
So we talk about inputs, we talk about outputs, we talk about memory, we talk about loops and recursion, we talk about third party actions.
Yeah.
And now finally, I think this is the most exciting component of an agent, that is its ability to comprehend. And under that category, we divided it into two separate categories. And maybe there are more, but at a minimum, it should be able to explore or navigate the internet. And number two, it should be able to read documents. This can basically create an explosion of very exciting things we can do now. Are there any other components under comprehension, or maybe should we expand on anything?
I want to understand what is the argument or the case that browsing the internet's one of those minimum requirements. What makes it minimum rather than a nice add-on?
So I think that the third party actions is part of that internet browsing. We know that when we browse the internet, when we put a URL in our browser, right, it's issuing a GET request to a server. Our ability
and then
to
20 more.
but our ability to understand textual content and content across the internet now allows the agent to leave its natural home and really go out in the wild and make its own decisions there and understand what's happening externally. Whether we choose to kind of limit its ability to navigate the internet or not is really up to us to decide. But at a minimum, the ability to interact with the largest computer network in the world, I think should, of course, be a minimum requirement.
Like, it kind of needs to access knowledge.
Yes, exactly.
Like, it needs a similar, to be an agent, it needs a similar access to knowledge that an equivalent human would have.
And I guess another interesting component here is this whole, you know, reacts to stimuli or even, you know, this third-party actions. If you want an agent to, you know, read your Gmail, for example, or book a flight or do anything along those lines, right? We basically have two options. We could either go through the integration route where we understand how those APIs are working. We sign up with certain API providers. We do the authentication. We do all that, you know, hard work of developing those APIs. The alternative to that is literally navigating an internet website and clicking the buttons and doing the things that a human would.
Yeah.
And I think that in some cases, an API call may be a lot easier. But in other cases, I think that navigating the internet and clicking those buttons and doing it more dynamically may actually be easier than the API call. That's how I see it.
I guess they're kind of baked together. Like it whether it's an API call, whether it's through the browser, the bot needs some way to either look up information or interact with the broader world. Like that seems like an important part of the concept of an agent is that it's connected. It's not in isolation.
Yeah, no, well said. So basically, just to summarize, we talk about input, we talk about output, we talk about memory, we talk about loops and recursion, third-party actions, and finally comprehension. Those are the six minimum requirements that I'm going to use going forward to call something an agent. If it doesn't have one of these things, it's not an agent, it's something else. And, you know, maybe going forward, we're going to add to this list. But right now in 2024, I think it's pretty solid.
I think that if something has all of these components, it's a pretty, one, it's a pretty sophisticated system. And two, I think it's starting to get to what people's imagination for AI systems really is. You know, we talk to it and it's just like, hey, Brad, don't forget you've got this important XYZ today. And you know what I mean? Like there's just to produce that recommendation for me, it takes a whole lot. It is some,
it really
all these, all of these different things. It needs to remember stuff about me. It needs to talk to third-party systems. It needs to access the internet. All of this is required to produce that sci-fi vision that we see in the movies and whatnot.
It does. This has been a fascinating discussion, and I'm really looking forward to diving deeper into each one of these components, because I think that each one of these components merits its own podcast.
For sure. It does.
And I'm really looking forward to it. So take care, Brad, and we will chat soon.
Great speaking with you, Justin. Have a good evening.
Thank you for joining us. If you've enjoyed today's episode, hit subscribe and stay updated on our latest content. We appreciate your support.